comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
A little echo there. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, and whoever you happen to be, wherever you happen to be, you have tuned in to talk radio like nowhere else on earth. We're here because you matter and because you have a right to know. Now, on Monday, I announced that I would be doing some software, new software installation and testing this week. And I said that in order to test the new software, I'd be doing some Best of Kevin Smith Show rebroadcasts this week. Well, I did one last night, and sure enough, the new software took the broadcast down. The only way we can fully test it is to do it during a live broadcast where I've got everything going, radio, TV, recording, everything happening. And we put a full load on the software. Well, it took it down for a few minutes. We did get the broadcast back up and going, and I apologize. But I did warn you that that could happen. Phenomenal show last night, rebroadcast of a show we did with Jim Mars in 2010. Now, tonight, we thought we had everything working right, but just as we went on the air and we clicked the little icon to start the recording, it took the broadcast down off of the television feed. So the television feed is back up. It is not recording the show. So for those of you who want to watch the show tomorrow and you come to watch the show tomorrow, it won't be there because we can't record it tonight. But you're seeing it right now, and that's the best way to do it anyway. Live, okay? If you're not able to see the broadcast tonight, it is because you're not a member. So you're looking for a way to watch, right? Well, join, become a member. It's 23 cents a day. We don't play commercial advertisements during the show. We don't try to sell you something during the show. And the only way we have of being able to support the show is it is listener-supported. And so become one of those. Just join. $6.95 a month. That comes out to 23 cents a day. It's even cheaper if you go quarterly, cheaper if you go annually. Tonight, we take a look at some of the big stories hitting the news and hitting the alternative news as well within our genre. Big news this week about Zahi Hawass, the Egyptian Minister of Antiquities. We're going to take a look at that with some additional comment and information. There's also some strange happenings in Antarctica at a German base there, science station. And speaking of things that are making the news a buzz, we're going to be taking another look at statements about astronauts going back to Mars. Back to Mars? Back to Mars? Yes. Back to Mars. Did you know about that? Well, that's if you didn't, it's because you haven't been watching and listening to The Kevin Smith Show. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a lot of info on our plate this evening, and we're going to cover that, and then we are going to open up the galactic phone line so you can participate in the show and add to our information and add to the fun, okay? Now, we're going to kick it off here with Zahi Hawass. Now, I think just about everybody knows who Zahi Hawass is, right? Zahi Hawass, Dr. Zahi Hawass, is the Minister of Antiquities in Egypt. He's one of the most recognizable faces in the media worldwide because we see him all the time. Every time there's a new discovery or a rediscovery of an old discovery, anything like that, Dr. Hawass is on television talking about it, and you see him on National Geographic specials and all kinds of things. Anything having to do with Egyptian archaeology, with Egyptology, you will see Dr. Hawass's face on television and in print. Well, I have been getting emails from people all week. Got a number of emails telling me that Hawass is out, that he got fired. And so I started checking on that. And you know, that's only sort of half true. It is true he was sacked. But the rest of the story goes like this. Remember that, well, we'll get to that. Let me just give you the details and then we'll get to the comment. Hawass was sacked. There was an overthrow of the Mubarak regime in Egypt, right? And the new regime, the new government, has begun purging itself of cabinet members from the Mubarak regime. One of the last things Mubarak did, not the last, but one of the last things he did while he was still running Egypt, is he elevated Dr. Zahi Hawass to a cabinet-level position. He created a new position in the cabinet called Minister of Antiquities. And he elevated Hawass to that position. Now, Hawass is said to be personal friends with Hosni Mubarak and with Mubarak's wife, Suzanne. Well, a lot of the protesters dislike anybody who was friends with Mubarak. And I think, you know, if they had such intense dislike for Mubarak, that it's understandable that they would have there would be a spillover effect to any of Mubarak's personal friends. And so those people really oppose Zahi Hawass being the Minister of Antiquities because he was and is a close personal friend of Hosni Mubarak and his wife. In addition to that, there are a lot of archaeologists both in Egypt and out of Egypt, but primarily in Egypt, who do not like Hawass, and they do not like Hawass because they say he's arrogant, egotistical, and he's a profiteer. According to them, they say he uses his position to turn it into profit. And for those who are watching our show on the private channel in the members area, you can see a picture of Zahi Hawass here. Almost every time you see Hawass, he's got that hat on, or one like it. And Hawass has developed a fashion line that includes that hat. And one of the things that people didn't like is when he launched this fashion line, he had the ads for the fashion line shot at the National Museum. He did the ads from inside the museum where there are all these national archaeological treasures of Egypt. So that's one of the things they don't like about him. They also are critical of the fact that he has a contract apparently with the National Geographic and gets paid from them as well. I don't know all the ins and outs of the financial dealings, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the politics involved in this, but those are some of the things that are stacked against Zahi Hawass. So they sacked him. And then the guy that was appointed to take his place could not get confirmed for the position, and the reason he could not get confirmed for the position is the opposition to him inside the professional archaeology profession was greater than opposition to Hawass. And so even though Zahi Hawass has officially been sacked, the government has asked him to continue reporting to work and doing his duties until they can find his replacement. So he's out, but he's not. He's still there, and they're having a devil of a time finding a replacement for him as Minister of Antiquities. Now, for my commentary on this. When the new regime took over, they began to round up the government ministers, the cabinet ministers, in the old government, in the Mubarak government. Under Egyptian law, they can take them to a jail, a prison, and they can keep them there for a short period of time for investigation. And so they began to round them up and take them there and investigate. Hawass apparently was not rounded up. It was reported that he had been sentenced to a year in jail, but as you know, he did not go to jail and is not in jail. He's out free. He resigned at that time as the Minister of Antiquities and said he would just go on a speaking tour around the world and write books, and that was good enough for him. Well, then this government that has taken over from Mubarak asked Hawass to come back as the Minister of Antiquities. So his resignation was rescinded, he was reinstated, and he came back as Minister of Antiquities. Well, then there was a popular outcry from the people on the street because they don't like Hawass. So the government has caved in to that and has sacked him again. But then has had to say, but don't go yet. We can't find anybody to replace you. When you stack all that up, you know what that kind of looks like? I mean, it all may just be politics. And politics is crazy. It's insane. It's nasty business. And some people say it's necessary. I'm not so sure that it is. But anyway, it exists. So it could just all be politics. That's true. But it could also be that Hawass knows some stuff that is really very important stuff that is his leverage keeping him in position. That's a possibility. Now, I'm going to give you an example. We've talked about it already this week. But one example is this tunnel, or, you know, it's not a tunnel that you could get into. It's only about a foot square. But it's a shaft, if you will. It's in the Great Pyramid. And back in 2002, a German team was exploring that with a rover and shot a picture from that little rover, a little remote-controlled little rover they put up in that shaft. And they shot several pictures, as a matter of fact, so we know what the inside of the shaft looked like. Later, much later, there was a National Geographic broadcast. It was live, and this National Geographic broadcast was when Hawass was putting a rover up into this shaft. But this rover was fitted with, if you will, a drill bit that could bore through the stone door at the end of that shaft. And the purpose for that was to stick a fiber optic camera through the hole that it bored so they could see what was on the other side. Well, that was all very exciting, and what they saw on the other side was nothing but a stone slab. But now it has come to light, that's not the shaft. The one that was in the live broadcast is not the same shaft at all. Those who are watching can see. We have on the left one of the original shots made by the German team, and we can see that the wall of the shaft is very pitted and scarred. And the one on the right is what we saw in the live TV show aired by National Geographic. And that wall is smooth. On the left, we see that little door at the end has some copper, I guess they're copper, maybe brass, handles, and they're long. Well, this tunnel on the right has two little short, little bitty short handles. The shape of the door is not the same. And, I mean, there's enough evidence here. The roof is not the same. Look at the roof, and you can see it's not the same. So there's enough evidence here to substantiate that, in fact, those are not the same tunnels. So by representing that they are, by representing that we're going to get to see on live TV this operation, this exercise, this project, where the rover's going up into this shaft and going to drill a hole so that we can put the fiber optic camera through and see what's on the other side. By representing that as being the same shaft, when now we have photographic evidence that it's not, was a hoax. And there's at least one person who had to know that, and that's Zahi Hawass. He was in charge of this. And so I asked the question, why? Why didn't we get to see the real shaft? Why didn't we get to see the real door at the end get a hole bored in it? And why didn't we get to see what's really on the other side of that little door? Well, the only thing that makes sense is that it has to be because Hawass had already done that and already saw what was on the other side of that little door. And whatever it is he saw is the reason you didn't get to. Whatever it is he saw on the other side of that door was something the world did not need to know from his point of view. So there's one secret Mr. Hawass is holding in his hand. What about the tomb of Osiris? Whenever Hawass, look, Giza, the Giza Plateau has always been associated with two people, Osiris and Thoth, two gods. It has long been rumored that Osiris was buried there somewhere on the Giza Plateau, but nobody knew where. And so when Hawass found or discovered the tomb of Osiris on the Giza Plateau, pictures were taken, lots of pictures, as the archaeologists were working, as they were clearing out this tomb of Osiris. It's in at least three levels, it may be more. It's far under the ground, right there on the Giza Plateau. And so whenever the photographer is shooting pictures of the last stages of that excavation, what they're doing is they're preparing to lift the sarcophagus from the lower pit up to the level where the archaeologists are working. Lots of pictures of them preparing it, getting it ready for that. They had to pump water out of that lower chamber. Lots of pictures of them as they lift it. Lots of pictures of them as they prepare to lift the lid on the sarcophagus. But there are no pictures available that show the instant that lid was lifted off of the sarcophagus. In other words, at that instant, what was in the sarcophagus? What could you see? There are no pictures of that. Later, there was a picture taken with the sarcophagus lid laid at an angle across the sarcophagus, and you can see there's nothing in the sarcophagus. And so it gives the impression that it was empty, right? But we don't know that. We don't know that it was empty because at that instant when the lid came off, those pictures are not available. And Dr. Hawass has told the world that it was empty and therefore it was just a symbolic tomb for Osiris. But there is an archaeology professor who wrote an article that's on the internet. I wish I had it in front of me. I don't. You'll have to search for it. And I don't have any more information than I'm giving you right now. It's an archaeology professor who wrote about what was found in the tomb of Osiris. And he says they found skeletal remains. If that is true, why didn't you get to see it? Is it because the stories that the ancients wrote about Osiris are true? The stories that say he's not a human, he's not from here. Is it possibly true? Is that why you did not get to see what was in the sarcophagus of Osiris? Well, it might be. It would make sense to me that it had to be something like that, really strange. Now, some people will say, oh, it was just empty. And I would say, oh, you just don't know. You don't know that because the pictures of that instant have not been released to you. And by you saying that you think it was empty, you're buying the story they wanted you to buy by shooting a picture later showing that it was empty. The fact that those photographs are missing tells me there was something in there, something they did not want us to know. We'll be back right after this.
Money and the people that come into this town, they leave broke. I need you to investigate them. Call me. Hey, 70. If they haven't got me yet, please help me. See you, Kevin.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and big news of all kinds of things happening now, and we're going to cover some of it. As I said, in just a moment, not just a moment, actually, after we cover all of this, I'm going to open up our galactic telephone line, and you can call us from anywhere in the galaxy and participate in this show. If you're from out of the galaxy, you'll probably need to send us a flash message. Okay, now, I've gotten several comments on, you will remember that I have used this in a show, but I also use it in one of the breaks on our TV station, some clips that show astronaut Gene Cernan stating on television that
he says, and I quote, Buzz does want to go back to Mars, talking about Buzz Aldrin. He wants to go back to Mars. And I will play that in just a moment. You'll get to see it if you're watching. You'll hear it if you're listening. I'll play it for you in just a moment. All right. Now, having said that, I want to clarify. He is not meaning to say Buzz does want to go back to the moon. And we know that because what he's responding to is the news anchor having read a statement from Buzz Aldrin saying we don't need to go back to the moon. And the news anchor says, so what do you say about that? Now, he's responding to Buzz saying, we don't need to go back to the moon. And in the course of that, he says, I know that Buzz does want to go back to Mars. All right, so keep that in your mind. Got this email from one of our listeners over in El Paso, Texas. And here's what she writes. Hi, Kevin. Heard another back to Mars statement this morning. I got this today, okay? Josh Elliott on ABC News Good Morning America was interviewing the Atlantis astronauts about the post-shuttle era. And one of them said something about how they're looking forward to getting back to the moon and back to Mars. It sounded just like what Gene Cernan said. No one commented on what the Atlantis astronaut said. Sorry, I don't have better documentation or the name of the astronaut. I was getting ready for work this morning and had the TV on, and I happened to hear it. Later, I looked for a video clip or a link online but found nothing. Let me interject. I have also looked and it's not up there yet, not on YouTube anyway. Checked ABC's website, YouTube, various other news outlets, nada. If you don't know what that means, it means nema ništa. It means found nothing. We'll check again during the next few days, and we'll send a link if I find one. Maybe another KSS listener heard it too and can add more information. So when we open up the phone lines later, if you heard that on the news this morning, we want to hear from you as well, okay? The comment was especially interesting because of your recent What the Heck Is That on the South Pole of Mars broadcasts. Looks like some kind of built structure to me, but who built it and what's its purpose? Is this a clue as to who cleared that sand off the Mars rovers? And then she says, Yeah, indeed. All right. Here is the clip.
Where man has not gone before. Fly by the comets, visit asteroids, visit the moon of Mars. There's a monolith there, a very unusual structure on this little potato-shaped object that goes around Mars once in 7 hours.
Read to you, and you've probably already heard it, what Buzz Aldrin had to say, the second man to walk on the moon. He said, I wish to endorse strongly the president's new direction for NASA. The truth is that we have already been to the moon some 40 years ago. A near-term focus on lowering the cost of access to space and on developing key cutting-edge technologies to take us further faster is just what our nation needs to maintain its position as the leader in space exploration for the rest of this century. What do you say to that?
Well, Buzz and I have disagreed on a lot of things, and it's certainly that one. Although Buzz does want to go back to Mars, and I support that. Buzz does want to go back to Mars. Buzz does want to go back to Mars. Buzz does want to go back to Mars.
Okay, there you go. That is Captain Gene Cernan speaking on a national news network on television, and he said Buzz does want to go back to Mars. When I first saw that, I was under the impression that, okay, look, you know, he meant to say he wants to go back to the moon. He just got his words mixed up. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized it could not possibly mean that. It could not possibly have been a mistake. Because he's responding to the fact that Buzz Aldrin said, we do not need to go back to Mars. So he would not respond by saying, I know that Buzz does want to go back to the moon. I mean, Buzz said, we do not need to go back to the moon. And then Cernan is responding and says, Buzz does want to go back to Mars. He's not meaning he wants to go back to the moon, because Buzz has said, we don't need to go to the moon. So there you have an astronaut who says, Buzz does want to go back to Mars. And then now we have this email from one of our listeners. And, you know, actually this email, I think, was sent yesterday. But I got it. I read it today. And she's telling us here that on ABC News, Good Morning America, one of the Atlantis shuttle astronauts, talking about the post-shuttle era, said something about how they're looking forward to getting back to the moon and back to Mars. Well, I was having a conversation about this after I read it. I had a conversation about this with someone that I pass this kind of stuff to and just get their opinion. I have several people that I use to bounce ideas off of. And I said, so what do you think? Do you think this astronaut is referring to sending some rover missions up to Mars or something like that when he says we want to get back to Mars? And the response I got made sense. Here's what made sense. It's impossible that that's what he meant, since we already have a rover up there currently working, the Opportunity rover, and we have a satellite called the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter currently working, and we have seven satellites that were former missions that are still up there and still working, though we don't get any reporting on what they're doing. But they're still in touch with NASA. They're still doing what they do. But you and I are not getting the news of that. So to say we want to go back to Mars and mean we want to send more missions to Mars, that doesn't make sense, because we have missions currently working. So you would say what? We need to send more missions to Mars. That isn't what was said. What was said is we want to go back to Mars. So is there someone in that last crew of Atlantis who has in fact been to Mars? Is that possible? For those of you who missed the shows that I did, in which I showed you pictures of what's on the south pole of Mars, pictures taken by the Hubble Space Telescope, if you missed that, I truly am sorry about that. I wish you had been here, and I wish you could see it, but you can't, because they came and went, those shows. So you'll just have to try and find those photographs and check it out yourself. But on the south pole of Mars, there is a huge facility of some kind. And one of our listeners wrote in night before last, sent me a flash message, and had done some measurements on it and gave me some approximate measurements while I was on the air, approximate measurements of what we were looking at. It was 199 kilometers long, And then it was, let's see, 134 kilometers high. I mean, this is massive. It's huge. And so if, you know, if you miss seeing that, I showed it on the air. If you missed that, I certainly am sorry you missed it. But that's why you need to be here for every live show, and you need to be a member so you can see these things. But there you have another statement about we need to go back to Mars. Now, let me tell you, I posted a piece of a show on YouTube, and just at the beginning of that, there is just a mention of the Gene Cernan statement. It's a caller who's called the show and says something about Gene Cernan's statement about Buzz wants to go back to Mars. One of the people who left a comment on the YouTube page about since when did we go to Mars? Hey, it's, if you watch this show, if you listen to this show night after night after night, you will not be ignorant of these things. This isn't fabricated. This isn't made up. This is astronaut Gene Cernan saying Buzz wants to go back to Mars. And, you know, it's not fiction. This was broadcast on national television. And apparently it was done again either yesterday or today on ABC News, Good Morning America. And different astronaut, someone in the crew of Atlantis, talking about, we're excited about, we want to go back to the moon, we want to go back to Mars. So, all I can say is, you know, these astronauts say what they say, and we don't manufacture the news, unlike a lot of the mass media. We don't manufacture it, we just report it to you, and apparently it's been done again. Now we're going to step away for a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about something really strange going on in Antarctica at the German outpost there at the Neumayer station in Antarctica. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking about some of the hot stuff in the news, and there is a bunch of it. We've got one more thing we're going to cover here tonight in this segment, and then we will, when we come back after the next break, open the galactic telephone so you can participate in tonight's show. Down in the Antarctic, there are a bunch of nations that have outposts, that have scientific stations down there and so forth. America is one of them. America does not claim any territory but reserves the right to do so. But it does have a couple of places down there where it's got some scientific outposts, or so they say that's what they are, and I assume that is the case. But other nations do claim territory down there. Germany claims territory. Norway claims territory. Russia claims territory, and so forth. There's a bunch of different outposts, though, even from nations that don't claim any territory. At the German station, called the, I think it's pronounced Neumayer, station in Antarctica. There, they have some webcams set up outside so that you can see what's going on. You can go to their page, you can see what's going on at this station, which is usually there's not a lot to watch because, you know, it's cold, really, really cold. And so the people who are working there are pretty much inside. However, they come out with a snow plow and plow around, clear out around the station and things like that. And recently, I've been getting a whole lot of email. I mean, a lot of email in my suggestion box from people all over the world saying, you really ought to take a look at this. And they give me links to, there's several videos up at YouTube. And I've looked at them. And yes, there are some really strange things happening there. One of those videos says that there is a plasma weapon being used there, and those who are watching on our TV channel are seeing the video that was one of the videos that was put up on YouTube. And this video shows a discharge of what appears to be plasma, and then a big sort of oval-shaped shadow that goes across the screen. Now, if you go to the website, and you should be able, the website for this Neumeier station, you should be able to find these photographs. I don't think they've been removed. They were there when I checked, so I don't think they've been removed yet. You ought to be able to find these photographs, which have now been sort of lined up end to end and put into motion. Now, in case you don't know this, you can take photographs where someone, you can still photographs where someone is moving or something is moving, and you shoot a whole bunch of still photographs. Then, if as they move, you're getting a photograph of them in a position, and then they're moving, so the next photograph is a different position, the next photograph is a different position, and so forth. And you line those up end to end in a video editor and turn it into a movie. It appears that you're watching them walk across because you were catching successive photographs. Okay, well, that's kind of what we've got here. And so we see this discharge of what appears to be, and what is identified in this video as being a plasma weapon discharge. I can't verify that that's what that is. I'm not a scientist, and I'm not at the Neumeier station. But whatever is happening there is quite phenomenal. There's this discharge, and the sky lights up, and a ball of light flies away from the station. Immediately after that, there's a huge oval kind of a shadow that comes across the bottom of the picture and moves from right to left across the bottom of the picture. Antarctica is certainly a place of mystery. It certainly is a place where it's mysterious all on its own, and made more so by the fact that we don't get a lot of news about what's going on there. Unless someone happens to grab some of these photographs and do what has been done here, which is line them up and turn them into a movie, unless someone does that and posts it out there on, like, YouTube or some other streaming video service, we don't get to see it. And, you know, we're certainly not getting any press releases out of Neumeier Station about this. There are some real anomalies that take place in the Antarctic. We've heard about places where there's sort of a time vortex, and time works differently in that vortex. We've heard that there are some phenomena that almost appear to be interdimensional. Of course, we all know about Lake Vostok and the fact that there's some kind of gigantic, and I mean gigantic, anomaly under about 2 miles of ice. And Lake Vostok, of course, is liquid water, but it's under about 2 miles of ice. There is an anomaly that is 65 miles by 45 miles under that ice. That is gigantic. What is it? Whatever it is a magnetic anomaly, meaning that whatever it is that's 65 miles by 45 miles is giving off a strong magnetic field, detectable by magnetometers. And so, we know that much, but are we ever going to hear, are we ever going to know, once they get through the ice, are we ever going to hear or know what it is they have found? I would suggest we will not. I would suggest that whatever they find will be their little secret forever. I doubt they're ever going to share that with us. I doubt they're ever going to open their mouths and peep a syllable about what that anomaly is. But you can bet your bottom dollar, as they drill through that ice, and, you know, they may already have done it and just haven't told us. You can bet that wherever they're drilling is close enough for the cameras they put down in there to see whatever that anomaly is. And now we have these photographs from Neumeier Station, and it does appear that this apparatus on top of the station lights up brightly and fires a ball of light, a big ball of light, a really big ball of light, away from the station. And we see it fly off to the left, lighting up the sky as it goes. And then we see that shadow, that big oval-shaped shadow, move slowly across the bottom of the picture from right to left. Some people are suggesting that this is battle with a UFO. I don't know what it is. Interesting suggestion, though. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are going to open up the galactic phone line now, and that means we'll take calls from anywhere in the galaxy. Now, look, if you happen to be outside of Canada or outside of the United States, you can call our telephone number, or you can send us a flash message. If you're inside of Canada or you're inside the United States, then please use the telephone. Now, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you punch those numbers into your little device called a telephone, it will transport you here to the studio like magic. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Hello, Ryan.
Kevin, you're kind of coming in kind of low tonight, but I'll go ahead with my comment anyway.
Good, because we can hear you, and that's the point.
Okay. I wanted to comment about the structures on Mars.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me wonder. I wonder if these are new. I wonder if something's been reactivated on Mars. Because I'm surprised that nobody's picked up on these before. And to me, they look like just pyramids, huge pyramids, which makes sense because of all the other pyramids that have been found on Mars and the pyramids on Earth and the pyramids, you know, on other planets.
Well, I don't know. That's an old picture.
Wonder, you know, maybe it's some sort of a newer facility that has been reactivated. And I just went over your thoughts around.
Well, it's an old picture. The fact that nobody has picked up on that is because nobody picked up on it. The picture was shot in 1997.
Oh.
And nobody picked up on it. I had not noticed until someone pointed it out to me, and then I said, well, yeah, you can see there's something there on the South Pole region of Mars. Let's zoom in and see what it looks like. And so I zoomed in and got what you saw on the show. That's not a new picture. That's not recent at all. That's from 1997. It was shot by the Hubble Space Telescope. After it shot all the pictures it shot of Mars, it never shot any more of the planets of the solar system. And they say, well, it's just so powerful it cannot possibly get down to the magnification where it could shoot pictures of the planets in the solar system. It would all be blurry. Well, yeah, but it did. It shot Mars, and then it never shot any more.
Well, I don't think that's a camera artifact. There's no way that that million-dollar telescope is going to leave an artifact. I mean, whatever is there, it's there, and they're huge. And I don't think that we would have the capability. If we can't build a pyramid here on Earth, we're not going to build one on Mars.
Well, I didn't see any pyramids.
Well, to me, they look like pyramids. Maybe they're tall, crystallized shards like the one that's on the moon.
What I saw was a long wall. What I saw was a long wall, 134 kilometers high and 199 kilometers wide. And then I saw three towers sticking up, but I didn't see any pyramids. I saw a rectangular wall that went all the way across the end of the planet.
Right. But those structures that stick up, when I see that, I can almost see like an edge on it where if you're looking at it at a pyramid from the side where you would see the to me they look like huge structures, pyramids, whatever they are. I have no idea, but I definitely have a sense that those are actually there on the planet. It's not some kind of camera artifact.
It's definitely not a camera artifact. When I did the original show on that, I showed a solarized version of the picture that draws a line around everything that is the surface. And that line goes around all of those things. If that was a camera artifact, the line would disappear as it goes through those things.
No, it's not a camera artifact.
Mm-hmm.
Not from Hubble. I mean, that's a high-tech telescope, I mean.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's you know, it just makes me wonder if you know, we got all these UFOs that are being seen around the world, and you know, it just makes me wonder if you know, I don't know, maybe they're coming back to pay us a visit, like in the near future. I hope that they do, because I'm getting tired of being lied to by NASA, and we pay their salary, but when it comes to these structures and stuff like this, they're not it goes through private eye or another company that does all the photographic work, and then you know what I'm saying. But there's definitely something going on Mars. I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So
do you think it's opinion. Do you what's your final determination? Do you think this is man-made, or do you think it's alien-made?
Well, it's not man. I don't think it's man-made. I was always fascinated by Tom Van Flanders' work before he passed away, because he was such an insider, and he was saying that Mars used to be the moon of another planet that exploded and became the asteroid belt, and that Phobos is actually was sucked into orbit from the asteroid belt, but Mars used to be a moon of another larger planet, which makes me wonder, because we got that shard on the moon that has been photographed and NASA airbrushed out, and so maybe these are the same type of shards or crystal shards or whatever they are on Mars, but they're just so huge that it's hard to put your mind around it. Those things are so big.
Okay.
Pretty fascinating stuff, though, Kevin.
All right. So you don't buy the information that I put out about one of our listeners who is a scientist, had been chatting with another scientist, and the other scientist said that that's a jump station that's used by the United States whenever they are going to fly to other planets or other star systems. That's where they launch from. You don't buy that, huh?
Those things are so big. Why would they need it to be that big?
Who knows? How big does a starship have to be?
It's all speculation. It's all speculation, but it's something that more people need to see, because I had never seen those before. It's obvious that Hubble, I think Walter Hubble is an insider, but it's obvious that the Hubble, you can trust the Hubble images more than you can the other ones that are all doctored and stuff. So,
okay.
But you know, it's all speculation, but it's just fascinating. So I just want to thank you for.
Okay.
Doing the show.
Well, it's speculation as to what is it and who built it, but it's not speculation as to whether it's there, because there's the photo.
Yeah, and another thing, Kevin, is I was looking at that, and there are other ones around in other parts of Mars, mm-hmm. not just on the pole. I saw a few on the other side, almost like it's all throughout the planet.
Yeah, you're right. Big structures. Okay, Ryan, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting comments. 623-444-5889. You can talk about any of the things that I mentioned, or you can talk about something else that's within our genre. So long as it's within our genre, we'll talk about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hello, Rick.
You made my day with the Dr. Hawass story. If he does end up gone permanently, it'll probably be the best thing that's happened to archaeology in Egypt in a lot of years. He has just stopped all new excavation, and he has told other archaeologists that if they find anything, he wants to take credit for it. He's a plagiarizer. He's just a nasty man.
Dr. Hawass, a nasty man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things. Archaeologists have wanted to look under the paw of the Sphinx, and in that space that they know is there, they've used radar and detected there, and he won't let them. There's a lot of things like that, and I really find that passageway where they drill the hole through the door, that's really interesting.
What do you think the deal is there?
I don't know. I remember watching the German team when they were doing that several years ago, and I really thought it was interesting, and how disappointing it was when they ran into that door and whatever. But I didn't know about the new pictures until you had showed them. I would really like to know what's behind there, and those two pictures are not, definitely not the same shaft.
No, they're not. That is a fact. Those two pictures are showing two different shafts. And, you know, Rick, one of the things that I, one of the questions I've got is, has to do with National Geographic. This was live on National Geographic television.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what did they know, and when did they know it?
Yeah. Sometimes they, I wondered about that also, and sometimes they will tape something live and then show it back to you later and tell you it was live. Well, it was live when they taped it, you know.
Yeah, but they
happened before.
Whoever was running,
do that.
Whoever was running this camera, whether it was live or whether they taped it and showed it back later, whoever ran that camera had to know they were not at the original shaft.
Yes, yeah, they did. Yeah, but Hawass has kept a lot of secrets, and there's probably more information in Egypt that we haven't found than we already have found. You know, it's just a matter of letting archaeologists look for it in a proper manner. You know, I know they can't just take a bulldozer over there and start digging everywhere, but legitimate archaeologists can be supervised, and there's no telling what they'll find over there.
Well, not only is there a lot yet to discover, there's a lot of stuff that has been discovered that Dr. Hawass has kept us from knowing. And I think, it's my opinion,
he thinks he is the minister of information, I think. You know, he determines what we'll know and what we want.
Well, I think, at least it's my opinion, based on my analysis of the situation having to do with those tunnels, my opinion is he's already drilled through the real door and already saw what's really back there, and whatever it is something he doesn't want the world to see.
Yeah.
And so we got the fake.
Using it as leverage.
Yeah. So we got the fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Rick, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. 623-444-5889. For those of you who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message if you don't want to make the international long-distance call. You do that by going to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And when you see the picture about tonight's show, look right above it. There's a link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ray from Baltimore.
Hello, Ray.
How are you?
Good. How are you this evening?
I'm good.
Good
deal. I cannot wait until you opened up the lines. I wanted to speak on Dr. Hawass.
Okay.
I will say that I do not like Dr. Hawass. I've never liked him. He's a liar. He's arrogant. That show that he had on TV was it was completely despicable. It was it basically made a mockery out of the Giza Plateau and the discoveries and so forth. He has withheld a lot of information. I went on his Facebook page and actually posted something. He didn't respond on that, expressing my discontent for, you know, basically the lies and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pleasure of meeting Robert Bouval this year, and sat in a lecture in D.C., and I spoke with him about it, and I believe that he is the correct person for the Master of Antiquities, if he would fill in that spot. So I believe Robert Bouval would be a definite a good replacement, but Dr. Hawass, I hope he never takes that office again. He's he's a liar, he's dishonest, and he just doesn't deserve that privilege to be there.
Well, let me. I'm sure it's no surprise to you that you are not alone in that opinion. There are a great many people who feel that way about Dr. Zahi Hawass. Now, having said that, let me say this. I doubt that Robert Bovall is even in the running, since he is not Egyptian. So,
he was born there.
Is he an Egyptian citizen?
Yes, he is. Robert Bovall was actually born in Kemet, and then he moved. He lives in Spain now, but that's uh-huh. That's where he was actually born.
Well, if he has maintained his Egyptian citizenship, then he would be in the running for that, I guess.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Because it's a cabinet level position, so I'm sure it's going to go to an Egyptian, unless Zahi Hawass holds on to it. Now here's the kicker in this. Somehow Zahi Hawass escaped the fate of all the other cabinet ministers. Somehow he didn't go to prison. Somehow he didn't get subjected to all that investigation. Somehow, even though he resigned, the current government asked him to come back and take that position again. Now they're asking him to step down, but they can't find someone to take his place right now. So they've asked him to stay on. So I think he's got a lot of secret information about stuff he hasn't told the world. Secret information from inside tombs and pyramids that has high technology importance. I think he's playing that card to hang on to his job.
True, I agree. And also, just his hands deep in somebody's pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, the nail in the coffin for me was also the defacing of a lot of the murals and stuff in a lot of the pyramids. You have defacing, you have the rebuilding, you have bleaching, you have a lot of manipulation of a lot of the murals and a lot of the carvings. And those pictures you can actually find on Google as well. That was a nail in the coffin for me.
Yeah.
Because that has to go through them. He has to authorize that.
Okay. Well, Ray, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. I think Dr. Hawass has a lot of people who are fans, but he apparently has more that are not. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Dang it, that cough comes up. While we're on the subject of Zahi Hawass, can I make a comparison with a fictional character?
Sure, go ahead.
Gilderoy Lockhart.
Why do you think he's like that?
Self-possessed, self-aggrandizement, big mouth, and not much else, not much upstairs.
Well, I don't know. I think he's a very smart man. He just may not be a really open and honest man. I think he's really smart. Consider that he started out as an inspector of antiquities. And he's risen to the position that he's in and has negotiated consultancy contracts, contracts with National Geographic, his own fashion line. He's pretty sharp.
All right, a smart Gilderoy Lockhart.
Well, he's turned it into a moneymaker, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I think he must be holding some cards that have some real important secrets on those cards.
And if he's going to hold on to his job, we're somehow going to have to find out what those cards are.
Well, if he holds on to his job, you and I won't find out. But some insiders in that government will find out some of it.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
All right. Okay, we have two open lines, and to get to either one of them, You dial the galactic coordinates of 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
You know, Dr. Hawass, I had a chance to meet him one time. I went to William Henry's presentation down in Nashville, and we were doing a lot of the touring of the museum there, and saw a lot of the Egyptian classic material that was there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was having a program, a lecture that evening, but I flat refused to go to it because my opinion of him was something I didn't want to, just did not want to get my feet dirty on. So.
Well, I don't know. But, you know, if you had actually seen him, heard him, and met him, you might have a different opinion.
I don't think so.
You don't?
I really don't, because I've seen too many things from him. And I've talked, you know, like William Henry and all of this, and I'm not sure that William doesn't say too much publicly about him, but it's what he doesn't say that kind of gives you the indication of how he feels.
Well, look, I'm not going to tell you who I'm quoting here, but I was told in confidence by someone who is an archaeologist that you don't ever criticize Hawass publicly, or you will never work in Egypt again.
And I imagine that's probably correct.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing about not going over there. I don't have to worry about that.
I guess I won't be working in Egypt. Okay, Mike, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number. What do you think about all that? Hey, you know what? We haven't had anybody call in on this thing about go back to Mars. How about it? Look, we've got people from coast to coast, from border to border in the United States, all over Canada, the UK, all over Europe, all over Asia, Africa, Australia, everywhere there is, we've got people listening. And it's almost a sure bet somebody out there saw and heard this statement by the Atlantis astronauts, and this statement that said, you know, they want to go back to Mars. Back to Mars. So we have one person that sent me an email about that, and how about you? Did you hear it? Did you see it? If so, give us a call at 623-444-5889. Now, maybe what you want to talk about is Zahi Hawass. I think that's huge news. Maybe you want to talk about what's going on in Antarctica. That's huge news. Or something else. Folks, you hang in there. We have to step away for a break, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have a caller that was on hold, I think gave up. Let's check. Oh, yeah. Let's see, when you give up like that, after I put you on hold, what you've done is tied up the line where nobody else can get in. And probably you get moved to the end of the line. When we put you on hold, you need to stay there. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And that will transport you here to the studio where you can discuss what's on your mind here this evening within our genre. We have a flash message from, who is this from? This is from Ross. And Ross is in the United Kingdom. He says, "Hi, Kevin. A few thoughts about the polar station quote, plasma weapon video. Could it simply be the sun rising with several frames missing of the early dawn? Could the dark oval, and that would be referring to that shadow I was talking about, could the dark oval be the shadow of whatever building the camera is in? Well, the answer to that, Ross, is absolutely it could be. I have no explanation for what we see there. I don't know what to say about what we see there. That's one of the reasons that I showed that, so that some folks could give their thoughts on it. And what you're saying sounds as though it could be at least plausible that certainly it could be all of that. Certainly could. Ross, thank you for the flash message, and I invite others who are not in the USA and not in Canada to either call us or send me a flash message with your thoughts, your comments, and we'll read them here on the air. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, that was me earlier. Unfortunately, I lost the connection, so I just thought I'd call back.
Okay.
Zahi Hawass, I don't like the guy. And, I think he's done a lot of shady things having to do with Egyptian antiquities. But I got to tell you, the guy's knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect him in that regard, that, you know, he is very knowledgeable about ancient Egypt and the dynasties itself. I think what's going to happen is basically a lot of the stuff that the shady dealings that he's been doing is going to catch up with him. And I think it is starting to now. And I think as soon as the Egyptian ministry can, you know, the cabinet or whatever you want to call it, can find someone to replace him, they are going to do so, as you were saying.
Well, they may. And he is very knowledgeable when it comes to standard establishment Egyptology.
Mm.
Now, what I contend is that that's mostly a fictitious reading of history. And the reason, Debbie, that I contend that, here we sit in the 21st century, and I'm going to include the 19th, 20th, and 21st century together because that's when mm-hmm. most of the archaeology has been done in Egypt. Okay, so here we sit mm-hmm. at this long end of the spectrum with our modern mindset and our modern terminology, and we read, the experts read what these ancient people wrote. And they toss most of it over into a bin called mythology and superstition. What I contend is that it isn't.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to give you, let me further state. I contend that what they were doing was describing real events with real people and doing so in language that was the best they could do to describe what was happening. Now, I'm going to give you an example. How many publications out there, of course, now we very often use the term UFO, okay, but how many publications out there you still are using the term flying saucers? A bunch. All right, now, 1,000 years down the road, some archaeologist with a PhD is going to dig up some book that says flying saucers. And they're going to say that we were superstitious. We were talking about some kind of flying plates with magical powers. We were superstitious. We were, ascribing some kind of supernatural powers to these things. And so they're going to say it was mythology.
Right.
And I contend that's exactly what we're doing with a lot of their writings about the beings they called gods. And I contend that they were describing very real beings and very real events that were happening and were beyond their ability to describe. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand what a stun gun is and what a we understand what a cattle prod is. But give that to a being who lands in Kemet, which is actually the name of the country. It's not Egypt. Mm-hmm. And he lands in Kemet. People, humans start gathering around him, and they're a bunch of dirty barbarian cannibals, which is the way the ancient Kemetians described their ancestors. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they start gathering around, and in self-defense, he stuns several of them. And now, because they saw sparks shoot out of this thing, and people fell to the ground and couldn't move, now they describe a god. And he has a thunder, right. has a thunderbolt in his hand, a lightning bolt in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So I think very real beings and very real events are what were discussed and described by those ancient people. But standard right. Egyptology is based on an acceptance of Darwin's theory of evolution, therefore an acceptance of Darwin's timeline, and it's based on looking at these ancient people and their writings through the lenses of our modern understanding.
Right, yeah.
So he knows a lot about that, but I don't buy standard Egyptology. I don't buy standard ancient history from any part of the world.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I know you and I probably talked about this before. I mean, I had several, at least three lifetimes in Egypt, past lives. And, yeah, it's pretty much what you say. But, yeah, when you look at it in the long scheme of things, it's we observe it from our limited scope of view. But there's really a lot more to it. So, yeah, I agree with you on that.
All right. Well, Debbie, thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin, you have a good night now.
All right. Bye-bye. Good night. Bye. Okay, now maybe you disagree with me, or maybe you agree with me on what I just said, or maybe you want to talk about something else. 623-444-5889 is the number. Hawass is out, but he's still in. Astronauts are talking about we want to go back to Mars, and something weird is going on at the South Pole again. Is there something else that you would like for us to talk about? Well, and also, although I didn't bring it up on this show, there is something weird at the South Pole of Mars. At the South Pole of Mars, there's a building, or at least the picture shows something that looks like a building. It's a Hubble Space Telescope picture, and what it shows is something that is looks like a fortress, or actually it gives kind of the impression to me of what you see when you see Disney's Magic Kingdom. Remember that? You know, the castle and everything? Kind of looks like that. It's huge. It's 199 kilometers from side to side. It's 134 kilometers high. In the sky above it, just above it, there is a glowing white object that is 117 kilometers by 117 kilometers. That's big, folks. That is big. It is huge, as a matter of fact. All right, to the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
This is Dan from Bastrop, Texas.
Hello, Dan. I know right where Bastrop, Texas is. I've spent a lot of time there. Okay, Dan, you need to listen to me on the phone, not on the radio
okay,
or computer.
Let me.
Now, when you call, don't try to listen to yourself on the radio. There is a delay, okay?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Dan?
Okay, Kevin, I was just wondering if you had looked at any more of the videos on YouTube on Antarctica?
Yeah, I've looked at several of them.
Okay, did you see the one where the sun comes up and goes up to the left?
Yeah.
And then it looks like there's a planet there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is?
I have no idea. It could possibly be a brown dwarf.
It's not just a little pinpoint of light. It looks like a full moon coming up there.
That's
right. Big. And the various videos that I looked at, somewhere in there, I looked at several of them, somebody pointed out that that's not the moon. The moon is in the other direction off of the screen.
That's correct.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have no idea what that is, but it's
really
there.
Spooky.
Yeah, it is spooky. It's there. And, you know, we've been getting some photographs. People have been taking photographs through some filters with their cameras, photographs of the sun. And you can see there is a big something up there near the sun. Looks like another planet.
Yeah, also there were some individuals that were out there, like a group of men or women, out there pointing up into the direction of the sun.
Uh-huh. I saw that. What do you think they were seeing?
They were seeing something.
Yeah, they were.
They were seeing something.
Yeah. You think they were seeing a planet?
I believe so. I believe they were.
So, Dan, what planet do you think this would be? Do you think this is Planet X, or do you think it's Nibiru? Or maybe you think those are the same thing. I don't know. What do you think it is?
Possibly Planet X.
Uh-huh. So do you think we're in any danger from this thing?
No danger, but I believe we can expect some real anomalies taking place.
Mm-hmm. What type of anomalies do you think will happen?
Oh, possible earthquakes, changing weather patterns.
Okay. Dan, I have to step away for break. Do you want to hang on during the break?
Before.
Do you want to hang on during the break, Dan?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. That means we don't have much time left in the show tonight. And we have a caller online. We have Dan from Bastrop, Texas, down near Austin, Texas. So, Dan, you were saying we can expect earthquakes, bad weather, and what else?
Yes, sir. I was just going to say that the moon has shifted. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Uh-huh. Watch some videos.
And I was just wondering if possibly if that could have had some cause.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Quite possibly. Quite possibly. Of course, if the moon can shift, I mean, it is theoretically possible for it to change its orbital pattern. Because it's a flying body, so it's theoretically possible for that to happen. But it could also be in its same orbit, and the Earth's axis has tilted. That would give it an apparent change for our position to change.
Yes, you're right. I had thought about that.
Yeah, now I don't know which one of those would be the case. I don't know if the moon has shifted or if the Earth's axis has tilted more and therefore given the appearance of changing the moon's orbital pattern. I don't know. But apparently, I mean, there are people out there who have made some pretty good videos with some pretty good evidence. Apparently,
yes,
the moon is not in the position relative to us that it has been. And so people are saying, well, the moon has shifted. Maybe the moon did. Maybe we did. Don't know which way.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I thought about that. And like I say, possibly whatever this object is out there could have a gravitational pull on the moon,
mm-hmm,
and the Earth and other areas.
Yeah, it definitely could.
It's real strange.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. Good to hear from Bastrop, Texas. I've spent quite a bit of time there. I've gone through Bastrop several times. Good to hear from Bastrop, Texas. We have time for one more call, 623-444-5889. Time for one quick call if you call right now. Yeah, the thing about the moon is pretty weird. Last summer, I was getting emails from people who were saying that it appears the moon has jumped across the sky because it's not in the place where it should be. And so we started talking about that and kind of examining that a little bit last summer. I actually brought that up and talked with James Horak about it. And when I was visiting with him, went outside and we watched to see what we could see, and it looked a little weird. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Thomas, and I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, Thomas.
I enjoy your show very much. Thanks for doing it so well, Kevin.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I wanted to talk more about... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. We're listening.
I wanted to talk more about what the last caller was talking about the brown dwarf.
Okay.
Have you ever watched any of the videos on YouTube that are about an alien from Andromeda?
I can't say that I have, no.
There's about 53 of them that are on the on YouTube now, and he's got a website actually too, and they're really very informative. I've actually listened to them twice because there's so much good information on them.
Uh-huh.
And what he's saying is that the brown dwarf is coming quite close to Earth now, and it's actually going to be going by the planet and causing a three-day total eclipse of the sun on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of September. And that's what's causing all these storms and all the volcanic action and the sinkholes that are going on the planet right now. And it's actually going to cause a lot more stuff as it gets closer. And that would probably cause the satellites to go down, and we'll lose power, and a lot of things will happen, and you need to be someplace high, because if something comes that close to the planet, he's saying it could come as close as 20 million miles. That will cause a lot of tidal waves and high winds and stuff like that.
Well, on the one hand, I hope he's dead wrong.
I do too.
On the other hand, I would say it never is wrong to be prepared for the worst. And I think people should be, not because they're in a state of panic, but it just makes sense, doesn't it, to be prepared in case something like that happens. It just makes sense to be prepared. And
what he's saying is the reason we can't see the brown dwarf right now is because it's a cold star.
Uh-huh.
It's at minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Well, minus 40, I guess, both ways, but... until it gets higher in regards to the sun, and then it starts to reflect, then we start to see two suns, which will start happening around the first week of September, or the 10th of September.
Well,
and when you see that, then it's really time to head for the higher hills or the higher mountains, and you need to get above 3,500 feet or 4,000 feet in order to avoid tidal waves.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got to head to some high hills, high mountains.
Well, being in Calgary, that's not so hard to do, right? But, I just thought it was important that people should be aware of this and take a look at it because make their form their own opinions and maybe have some getaway bag in their car or something like that if they start to see another sun in the sky in the first part of September.
Absolutely. Thomas, we're almost out of time for the show, but I want to thank you for the call, and it sounds like you're in a good place to be safe. But thank you very much for the call, and thanks for sharing that information with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look that up at YouTube, An Alien from Andromeda. How about that? I'll have to do that, Thomas. I'm going to take your advice on that. Let me say again for those who are watching the show that the new software has graciously broadcast the show but refused to record it, so there will be no watching the latest show. You'll have to listen to the K-Pod, all right? We'll try to get that fixed by tomorrow night, and my guest tomorrow night is Patty Greer. You're familiar with her from her film work about crop circles, and she's got quite an interesting, amazing, and a little bit scary story to share with us for tomorrow night. Let me remind you, if you haven't signed up for our free weekly newsletter, you need to do that. It's called K-Files. Go to my website and click where it says K-Files, subscribe, and then you will begin to get the free weekly newsletter. All right, but you will get an email that has a confirmation link. You have to use that link to activate your subscription, but once you do that, you'll start getting our free weekly newsletter. If you are not a member, be sure that you join, and then you get in on all the goodies. Just watching the show is worth it, but there's way, way, way more in the members area than just getting to watch the show. Take the time to click the ad, read, see for yourself, and then join. All right? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.